There once was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Father, I want right now what's coming to me." So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to feel it. He signed on with a citizen there, who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, "All these farm hands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am, starving to death. I'm going back to my father." When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech. "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a prize-winning heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. All this time, his older son was out in the field. When the day's work was done, he came in. As he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. Calling over one of the houseboys, he asked what was going on. He told him, "Your brother came home. Your father has ordered a feast because he has him home safe and sound." The older brother stomped off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, "Look how many years I've stayed here serving you, never giving you one moment of grief. But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this son of yours who has thrown away your money shows up and you go all out with a feast." His father said, "Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he's found."
Well, happy Sunday to you. For those watching and listening online, we want to say thank you. For those being in the room, we want to say thank you as well. Well, we're in week two of our series, Prodigals, and last week we kicked this off, and we're going through one of the most famous stories Jesus told, and it's found in Luke 15. And maybe you grew up in church, or maybe you didn't, and this is a story that most likely we are familiar with in some way or another. It's the story of the prodigal son. And our goal in this series is to jump into the story, to jump into it, to help us understand a couple of things. We learned last week that this is a story that has motivated, inspired, challenged, confronted, and even bothered people because of what it communicates about the heart of God and the heart of being a follower of Jesus. So last week we set the scene to understand the setting that Jesus told in this story. We learned that Jesus is not fitting in either group's paradigm. Both can't believe that Jesus is opening himself up relationally with sinners. And the tax collectors and the sinners, they are surprised and they're happy. The religious leaders are surprised and not happy that Jesus is opening himself up to sinners. Because they both groups had a paradigm of who God is, what God is like, and who God does and doesn't like. So Jesus tells these three stories that have the potential to change our perspective of God. He spoke one about a lost sheep and then a lost coin. And then we're going to look in today, the lost son. Each story, something is lost. And I don't want us to think the term lost is derogative. It's not. It doesn't mean less than. It just means you're disconnected. And we're going to see that in the story today, that the lost son was disconnected relationally with his father. And so as we jump into the parable, I really want to encourage you and I to find ourselves in this story. We're going to be one of the two sons, or maybe in our lives we've been both sons. One of the reasons why Jesus is telling the story like any good story is that he wants you and I to relate to the characters. He wants us to find ourselves in the story. And of course, he's teaching us something about God, but he's also teaching us something about ourselves. So would you be honest enough to try to examine yourself and find yourself in the story? Which character do I identify with? Who have I been? Where do I have a tendency to be? So find yourself in the story. And my hope is that Jesus will teach you and I something about ourselves and we learn more about the heart of God. So let's look where it all starts. There was a man who had two sons. And so Jesus is introducing to us the characters. There's a dad with two sons. You have an older son and a younger son. And Jesus would insert a character that is meant to represent God to us. We're meant to learn something about who God is, what God is like, who he likes, and how he operates. And Jesus is inserting a character that represents God for us, and it happens to be the dad. Sometimes you and I are tempted to read these parables, and we kind of find the hero of the story. We're like, well, okay, I'm that person. Well, Jesus makes it super clear that without a doubt, the father is going to be the hero of the story. And we don't represent the father. The father represents God. See, the father in the story is not any of us. Now, we might relate to some aspects of him, but this is the character that represents God. And so Jesus continues, the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Now, this is more than just 20 bucks. This is more than when you and I were a kid and we threatened to run away. I don't know about you, but did anyone try that? I mean, my parents helped me pack my bag. I had my Elf sleeping bag. You guys remember Alf from the 80s? Yeah, I had my Alf sleeping bag. I had my suitcase. It was a brown pleather suitcase with a buckle on the top of it, and they helped me pack that, and they were just sitting on the front porch just watching me walk down the driveway. And then I had to go up this long hill, and I'm thinking, this is a mistake. Even though I grew up on a farm and it was hard work, man, it was nothing compared to doing life as a 10-year-old boy myself. I mean, who in the world in their right mind would hire a 10-year-old who doesn't think he needs his parents? Of course, I come back and I'm getting in some trouble. See, the son is asking for whatever money his dad saved for him and his brother. In today's terms, it would be savings for college, resources from a living will, life savings, sale of a property. Basically, this is what he's telling his dad. Whatever you are going to give me, whatever that was, upon your death, would you just go ahead and give it to me now? It could be taken as, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with this family. I'm out of here. When we think of it that way, it should break our heart. It's hurtful and it's offensive. And back then, this would have been unforgivable. Some of the audience might have expected the father just to smack him upside the head and tell him to get back to work on the farm. So Jesus continues, so he, the father, divided his property between them. What is Jesus teaching us about God? That God is never going to force you to love him. He wants an authentic relationship with us. He doesn't need a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want begrudging submission, and he doesn't want robotic obedience. He wants a relationship. Your Heavenly Father loves you enough that He will let you walk away. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. He began to be in need. Now imagine the tension during the time between the request and leaving. Like, this took time. It wasn't something that, I mean, happened within minutes. This took some time. Remember, when Jesus talked about the lost sheep and the coin, it wasn't about location. It was about relationship. And this is a disconnected relationship between the younger son and the dad. So this younger son has done just that. He turned his back on his dad, leaving with his newfound wealth. The idea of a distant country is basically getting far away as he could, so he could do things his way. Have you ever thought or said, I want to do things my way? I want to live my truth. Maybe we told a spouse, a partner, a friend, a boss, a coach, I don't want any of your criticism. I don't want any of your consequences. I'm out. See, this is the idea of a distant country. The son gets as far away as he can from his dad, his family, and his community. Man, I know in this room, I believe we all know this to be true. There's always consequences for our sin. There's some that we can foresee and there's some that we cannot foresee. Like, he could foresee that spending money in the way that he was living was probably going to end up having him broke. Like, he was going to lose everything. He could probably foresee that. But what he couldn't foresee was the famine. And that between the famine and how he was living, I mean, he was going to be in a worse spot. See, the same thing could be true in our own lives, right? We have sin consequences that we can see, and we have consequences that we can't see. For example, we probably could foresee how the habit that we started to do when we were 14 would affect our relationships later. On the other hand, there are some decisions where we could not have foreseen. Like, we could not have foreseen how that decision that we made in a moment in our business trip was going to affect our relationship with our kids. We couldn't foresee how it was going to affect things. How that habit that started out as a distraction after work has now turned into an addiction. Maybe we didn't see that coming. Sin comes prepackaged with consequences. There are some that you could see and there's some that you cannot see. Some of them you didn't see coming, but they are coming. It's guaranteed. Sin comes prepackaged with consequences. So Jesus continues the story. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So the younger son gets a job feeding pigs, and it sounds like the bottom of the barrel job. Yet it was so much worse. It was rock bottom for the younger son because as a Jew, pigs were unclean animals. So that meant that not only were they not meant to be eaten, but they were not meant to be touched. In desperation, the younger son makes a decision that compromises his faith. So the downward spiral continues. I mean, in one sense, he's already cut himself off from his family, his community, and now his faith. Perhaps this is where you find yourself spiritually, cut off from God and cut off from the faith community. Or maybe this is where you find yourself relationally, cut off from family and friends. And this is what a series of moments of bad decision-making and self-reliance leads to. I want to show a clip of Tyler Toney. Tyler is maybe the leader of the Dude Perfect group. And Dude Perfect is an internet sensation. They got really famous by doing trick shots. And they're all followers of Jesus. And Tyler went through a rough patch with some really bad decision-making, and this is some of his story.
my buddy that came over, he felt bad. He felt ownership because he feels like he should have been more there for me, that there should have been more accountability in it, that, you know, he could have prevented that. And we started a Bible study in November of that year, that meets every Thursday morning at my house. We've met ever since then. There's 11 guys that has been irreplaceable in my walk, to have those 11 guys that we can come together and be vulnerable with and be humble and share wins and losses and all of those things together. And just the impact that that 1 hour, hour and a half time has on my entire week, and the importance of getting in the Word of God or showing up to church on Sunday. All of those different things have played a major role in the change of your perspective. You know, one of my mentors said, most young men can handle anything but prolonged, sustained success. And I think I, looking back, kind of fell victim to that, where I got really dependent on myself and my ability to control a situation. When you have a community of people around you who are able to point those things out or maybe reveal some of those things to you, then your perspective can change in those situations.
One of the things that Tyler doesn't say, but what we can see, is that it's like he came to his senses. And that's how Jesus picks up the story. He says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have found food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. It's like the blinders came off. He was able to see life the way that he couldn't see it before. And for whatever reason, whether it was pride, arrogance, greed, lust, anger, hate, whatever that reason was, it led him to his decision-making and self-reliance, which led to rock bottom, and it no longer blinded him. And the word repent means to change direction, change thinking, change your mind. It means to return. This is so important to following Jesus. It's one of the most important things that you and I can do, which is to repent. Like, we need to remember that the Father's love is what let the Son go. The Father's love came before repentance. Love preceded repentance. Repentance is not the requirement for God's love. He loved the rebellious son when he left home. He loved that rebellious son when he was in that distant country. If that son never decided to come home, the Father loved him. And whether you decide to love God or not, whether you decide to come home or not, whether you decide to leave the pig pen or not, God loves you. Repentance is required to restore the relationship. The younger son had to leave the pig pen and return home. That's what repentance is. You and I cannot fully understand God's love without repentance. It's impossible. It allows us to understand the weight of forgiveness. And that's where we're going to pick it up there next week, as we look at the father's response to the younger son. Right now, let's take a look at the older son. The older son stayed home. He did all the right things. He did everything the father asked him. And in my opinion, especially in the church culture that I grew up in, there is always the celebration of those, you know, drugs to Bible testimony, right? When someone was hooked on drugs, or they had this very sinful lifestyle and they become a Christian, it's like we're celebrating that story. We weren't really good at celebrating the faithfulness of the older sons. And many of us, I don't know about you, but I know for me, man, we are praying for our kids to do the right things and live a life that reflects everything they are learning in small group, what they're learning in the home. We don't want them to go down that way, that path. It's a shame that we celebrate the repentance of the younger sons more than the faithfulness of the older sons. And so Jesus continues, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, and so he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Now notice this. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. This didn't make sense. This didn't make sense to the older son who remained faithful to his dad, to the farm, and there was no party celebrating him. And his anger reveals self-righteousness, pride, moral superiority. In this moment, he made it about himself, not what it was really about, the younger son and their dad. How many of us have had thoughts like this? Do you have people in your life who you wish they would get what they deserve? Do you ever want to go up to the person you warned and say, told you so? Do you ever look at someone at church services, at work, at the store, at the restaurant and think, why are they here? They don't belong here. Do you ever hear someone's story and think, I'd never do that? I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. We all have that in our hearts. I do, you do. And that moral superiority, that self-righteousness, here's what that does. It keeps us from understanding the heart of God and the heart of being a follower of Jesus. And so the father went out and pleaded with him, and he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? His self-righteousness led him to believe that he should be celebrated, not his brother. He's so angry that he doesn't even want to associate with his brother, as he says, this son of yours. When you do the right thing with the wrong motive, you've missed the point of the right thing in the first place. You and I can be just as lost in our rightness as some people are in their wrongness. And Jesus levels the playing field by describing both sons as being lost. Remember when Jesus talked about the lost sheep and coin, it wasn't about location. It wasn't being less than. It meant being disconnected. And in this case, disconnected in their relationship with their father. When the older son was more focused on checking the boxes and slaving for his dad, he was not experienced in relationship. Listen, he didn't want to have a party with his dad. Instead, he wanted his dad to provide him the party. And Kenneth Bailey writes in his book, The Cross and the Prodigal, in any social situation, a banquet or no banquet, the male members of the family must come and shake hands with a guest, even if they don't stay and visit. Failure to fulfill this courtesy is a personal insult to the guest. The older son knows this, and thereby his action is an intentional public insult to his father. It's almost impossible to convey the shock that must have reverberated through the banquet hall when the father deliberately left his guest, humiliated himself before all, and went out to the courtyard to try and reconcile with his older son. We are all lost. We are all in need of the love of the Father. We all need to repent, whether in our rightness or in our wrong. And we're going to pick up there next Sunday as we see the need of repentance in our relationship with God. The invitation today is to return to our Heavenly Father by leaving behind the pig pen or the checklist to a relationship with Him. He provides forgiveness. He celebrates our return. So a couple of questions. Do you relate more to the older son or the younger son in the story? Where do you have a tendency to drift into rebellion or self-righteousness? Who can support you in pursuing relationship with the Father over everything else? Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're incredibly thankful for this story. Father, either we're the younger son or the older son, or maybe we're a combination of both. And Father, for those who are yet followers of Jesus, that they would see their need to repent. That they would return. That they would see that God loves them. And he's not forcing them to love him. Father, for those who are followers of Jesus, Father, I ask that you would really speak to us. And maybe we've been going wrong about our rightness, or maybe we've been going wrong about our wrongness. In either case, that we are open to returning to you. That we would ask for forgiveness, that we would repent, that we would return back in fellowship with you, in that restored relationship with you. So Father, help us to do that well. Help us to do that quickly. Because we are not guaranteed tomorrow, we're not guaranteed the next week, and I just ask that you would prepare our hearts for repentance. In Jesus' name, amen.